RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
And a happy Thursday to you. Michael Phillips here, MP, on the mic, driving you around Richmond or wherever you might be listening worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Welcome in. Lots to get to today. Got a fun show for you. Our pal Lane Casadante scheduled to join the show at 11:15. That's tentative. He's over at the Altria Theater getting ready for the RVA Sports Awards, which are, I guess, 10 days away now, 9 days away now. That's maybe the best Richmond sports day in a while, because that will be right after the Richmond VCU basketball game, which the hype on that builds by the minute. You got Richmond VCU hoops, RVA Sports Awards that night. We'll check in with Lane. Look forward to hearing from him. Lots to say about all things monumental, right? We've got the Wizards moving on to an interim coach. They dismiss / move to the front office Wes Unseld Jr. He'll take a senior advisory role with the team. The Wizards will name an interim coach for tonight's game. They will then conduct a full coaching search after the season. You know what that means, of course. Fire up the tanks. Wizards 7-36. They certainly don't need assistance in that department, but not bringing in their full-time guy until after this debacle of a season is over. Wiz, by the way, hosting the Utah Jazz tonight. Utah Jazz coach Will Hardy, Richmond's own St. Christopher standout and one of the sharp young basketball minds. Excited to have him back close to home. Your fun Will Hardy fact. Will Hardy is younger than LeBron James, and he is coaching an NBA basketball team. Pride of St. Chris, Will Hardy, shout out to him. Call me crazy. I think I like the Jazz's chances tonight. I think they could get the job done in D.C. tonight. Also want to have some Caps talk, a little puck talk. Haven't done that in a while. We're nearing the NHL trade deadline, and another loss, another non-goal performance for Ovi two nights ago. It's a harsh reality, and they've got to make some tough decisions here as we come up to the trade deadline. Not that there's a lot to sell, but you have to acknowledge the truth at some point. And, you know, they'd promised Ovi a competitive team as he chases Wayne Gretzky's goal record. But if Gretzky's not, or if Ovi's not doing his part, I don't know that the team's obligated to do their part and keep buying and keep bringing veterans in. At some point, you got to hit the button and kaboom the thing. Tough decisions there. I wrote this morning in the Washington Times about the proposed arena in Alexandria. Learn some stuff along the way about that. We'll take you to class here in a little bit. Talk about that. Of course, the NFL, big doings all over the NFL. Jim Harbaugh to the Chargers is official. He beats the cops out of Michigan there. Assuming the NFL will not hold him responsible for what happened there, Connor Stallions with the spying on the other teams. Looks like he's good. Did the Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll got out of USC just in time. Left him holding the bag. I don't know that there's going to be a lot of bag left to hold in Ann Arbor. It seemed, my guess would be the Big Ten's going to look at this and say, look, we could bring the hammer down on one of our biggest brands and I would argue the biggest rivalry in college football right now and the best rivalry in college football right now. Or we could just say, dude's gone. Let's keep it moving. I think that's the road they'll go down. I don't think you're going to see a thorough investigation here. He's gone. Clean house. Keep it moving. Because you got to protect that game. That Michigan-Ohio State game right now is arguably the must-see game of the college football season every year. And I don't think it does you any good to slap the hammer on Michigan as they enter a coaching search and coaching shift. I am intrigued by the timing of it. Because, right, we're coming up on NFL coaching carousel season, sure. But college football, everything got sorted a while ago. And Harbaugh could have been hired by the Chargers 2 weeks ago, but he wasn't. I'm very curious what negotiations went on behind the scenes. Obviously, you got all sorts of considerations here now, transfer portal and guys picking up and moving and Michigan needing to hire new coaches kind of outside of college hiring season. I'm very curious what went on behind the scenes there, what the negotiations were to keep him at Michigan, to for the Chargers to woo him away, the power they'll give him. Fascinating behind the scenes there, I'm sure. So four vacancies remain. I'll tell you, I think the Commanders are the best of the four. You got Commanders, Falcons, Panthers, and Seahawks. I really like the position the Commanders are in, and I really like their chances of landing their guy, assuming their guy is Ben Johnson of the Lions. But we start with a busy night in college basketball, and we start with the University of Richmond, which is red hot. The Spiders beat George Washington 82-74, handled them, and there is no stopping these guys right now. It's a monster game coming up on Saturday now. JC, you got me here? I see you staring at your phone there, buddy. Let's do it. It's Chris Mooney time. Big game coming up on Saturday against Dayton. Here's Chris Mooney after the game on that matchup against Dayton.
You know, that'd be a sold-out crowd and a nationally televised game to embrace that. You know, Richmond has, for many, many years, Richmond has performed well given these opportunities. And, you know, this is something that... the reason Richmond wanted to have our players here and the reason that hopefully they chose Richmond would be there are games and opportunities like this.
There you go. It's this is the game. This is the one we've all been looking forward to. You are coming, hosting Dayton, best team in the league. Chance for them to polish off the old resume. Paris 6-0, Atlantic 10 teams on the collision course. Spiders host Dayton on Saturday. Look, you had to navigate the speed bump there. They handle George Washington, which not everybody in town was able to do that, just saying. But they handle George Washington easily, 82-74 win. And now they turn their attention to a big showdown against Dayton. First place in the A-10 on the line. Spiders absolutely still chasing that regular season title, potentially, if they could pull the upset. Now, I've said I think Dayton's the best school. I don't think it's particularly close in the A-10 this year. One game at the Robins Center. Anything could happen. Wild night at JMU last night. JMU hosts Old Dominion, and JMU pulls out the win. They're 18-2, but Terrence Edwards, I think he'll be the Sun Belt Player of the Year this year, gets tossed with the double technical early in the game. Here's JMU coach Mark Byington on what went down from the Duke's post-game radio broadcast on ESPN Harrisonburg.
You know, I don't know if that was the best way it was handled.
I was with you on that. I agree with you.
What,
did they give you an explanation? Because, again, I could see maybe giving them the tea for what happened initially, but he did nothing walking away as they went after him.
Yeah, he walked away. And the first one, he deserved a technical, and then got flopped. He pushed him, and he got flopped. And deserved it, should have got it then. They did not call that one.
Right.
And the issue is he walked away, and the common thing for a referee to do when their guy's chasing our guy down is to say, all right, I'm just going to do the nice, even thing out and do the double technical. Well, the problem was once it was called, he couldn't take it back. So the first one should have been called. The second one should not have been called.
No question.
I would like to have a nice, good explanation of that because I'm watching the replay. The second part of it is taking place right in front of me. So we made it through. We made it through even with that.
That's JMU coach Mark Byington on his best player, Terrence Edwards, getting tossed early in the game against Old Dominion. Played most of the second half without him after his double technical. And look, it's a rivalry game. You know feelings are going to be hot. Everybody's going to be up in their feelings. It's tough to toss a kid, though. The single technical sends the message. The double technical That's a lot. I get needing to keep control of the rivalry game, but the double technical, quite aggressive there. JMU wins anyway. They're 18-2. Of course, they started the season with that great win over Michigan State. Good time to be a Duke right now. Noah Friedel, 15 points, 9 rebounds. TJ Biggerstaff with the double-double, 12 points, 12 rebounds. Of course, lots of room for everybody once Terrence Edwards departed. And the Dukes finish off their in-state rival, the Monarchs, 78-62, moved to 18-2 on the season. Wild game in the A-10. We should just start doing around the A-10 every day and set it to some Yakety Sax music or something. Something wacky happens in this league every single day. Yesterday, Fordham, get the mental picture there, Fordham, shot 36% from the field and won. They beat Rhode Island 71-68. Now, setting aside the decline of Rhode Island, which has obviously been a thing over the last couple of years, you just never know what you're going to get each night in Atlantic 10 basketball. Fordham shooting 36% and winning. Closer to home, the VCU women, big winners yesterday, 73-62 over Dayton. VCU women, don't look now, they're 17-2. Fantastic. Love to see the Rams rolling. We are rolling. It's a Monday morning. Appreciate you guys joining us. You got thoughts on Richmond Dayton coming up this weekend? Holler at me. Got thoughts on the Wiz or the Caps? We'll slide into them in the next segment. Coaching changes in the NFL. It's a busy board. We'll check in on all of it in the next 2 hours. Glad to have you with us. Michael Phillips here, MP on the mic. You are listening to 910 The Fan. Got the whole crew here. JC's here, Hazel's here. Hey, well, I'm just hanging out with us earlier. Fact check. Hazel's got my back. Fact check. I informed the audience before the break it was Monday. It's not Monday. It's not particularly close to Monday. It's, in fact, Thursday, which is pretty far from Monday, actually, when you look at it calendar-wise.
Yeah.
That's all right. That's good, though. The number of shows I mentally have to do now for the rest of the week has gone way down since I was informed of that. This is very exciting development for my personal life.
Great revelation.
It's been a fun week. We went out to the VCU game earlier this week, of course. Had a great night last night. Went out downtown. I was down at Penny Lane. Now, I wasn't there for the soccer, but there's a big soccer contingent. Well, I'm assuming it was Liverpool. It's always Liverpool down there.
Usually.
We'll check in with AWOT on that, get the official word. Went over to Hotel Green for a bit. Some of the RTD crew had a lovely evening. Also chatted with an old RTD writer, Zach Reed, one of my favorites. Went out to his he's an artist now, and we were chatting. He's a big VCU basketball guy. He said, "You know who I miss? You know who I want back? Will Wade." I said, "Zach, you're the only person in town that would say that, but you're not wrong. The dude could coach some basketball. Setting aside the character issues, the guy drew up a mean X's and O's. I'd argue he's the best X's and O's coach they've ever had. And he's going to have success at McNeese. He'll be back at a Power 5 school eventually once that show cause runs out. I'm not saying I want him back. I get the sentiment. It surprised me at first, right? Like, if you could have one VCU coach back, who would it be? I think most people would pick Anthony Grant or Shaka. Maybe Capel. Maybe you get some Capel votes. He's probably underappreciated in his time. But a Will Wade vote there. I don't think anybody's picking Mike Rhodes. Nothing personal. But if you're ranking them, and we'll see where Odom stacks up in the end. If you're ranking them, I think you're looking at, you know, they all had their strengths, right? Shaka was such a great recruiter. Wade was such a good in-game coach. Capel was probably more the consummate complete package, you know, Renaissance man kind of coach. They all had their pluses. Rhodes was great, and he kept the program rolling, and he was a great motivator. I just don't know that he has those peaks that the others have along the way. Basketball last night, we told you about Richmond's win, told you about Spiders facing Dayton on Saturday. That game's going to have a whole truckload of hype coming into it. Paris 6-0 teams in the Atlantic 10, but UVA got themselves righted last night, 59-53 overtime win over NC State. Wolfpack shoot 37%. That's a pretty good offensive team there that they put the clamps on. UVA's got the longest home court winning streak in America, 20 31 games. 59 points yesterday, 54 rebounds for the Wahoos. Finally getting the job done inside. Love seeing the emergence of Jordan Minor. And look, it's a home win, so you just kind of take those for granted now for UVA. But it's the start of the revenge tour. They lost those three road games, lost to Notre Dame, lost to Wake, lost to NC State, and now they're going to host all three over the next few weeks, starting with the win over NC State. And it was, I mean, look, I don't want to be Mr. Complain about end games because I did that yesterday with VCU, right? I thought the VCU finished the way they put Loyola away. They're going to need to clean some things up. UVA's got that times 10. That was a rough finish to the game. They left fouls on the board, let NC State score late. They left a timeout on the board, didn't get a chance to set the offense even after the play stagnated. But they get the job done in overtime. The free throws, man, just make some free throws. That's the most frustrating one as a fan, right, when the free throws aren't going in. Because you know, you make those free throws, there's a lot less tension in the air, a lot less tension in the game. AY's back. I was at Penny Lane yesterday, and there were a bunch of people with red soccer jerseys. Was that Liverpool?
Liverpool
game. Did they win?
I believe they did, yeah.
It looked like everybody was generally happy. Yeah. So, yeah.
It was a cup game, so it was like the semifinals. So it was a big deal, but they were predicted to win by a lot because they were playing a lower squad.
They renamed the cup, and it's something goofy now, right?
I think it was the Carabao Cup.
I don't know what Carabao is. Yeah. I could.
So in England, they have three league competitions. It's why the NBA stole it with their in-season tournament.
Right? Which was a great idea.
Right. Except for their execution sucked compared to the way they do it in England.
This is the big one, right? The FA Cup?
FA Cup is the third biggest trophy. The number one trophy you want to get is the Champions League.
Champions League, Premier League.
Premier League 2, FA Cup 3.
But this is the one that everybody gets to participate in.
Yeah, but the cup yesterday, though, was not the FA Cup. It was the Carabao Cup, which is just another cup that they got sponsored that is only, I believe, the teams in England.
Oh.
FA Cup is like all five divisions.
Oh.
Basically. Yeah, yeah.
Too many cups.
Well, it's good because it keeps you interested. And the way they do it is great because you get to see the reserve players play. And with a soccer team, it works out because you get younger guys. It's almost like if the NFL did an in-season tournament and you got to see all the, rookies play. That's why it doesn't work for basketball, because if LeBron's not playing, why am I watching?
Yeah.
But with soccer, if, the star's not playing, but you're playing an 18-year-old that's supposed to be the next Messi, I'm invested.
Honestly, a sport you could probably do this the easiest in is baseball. If you could somehow freeze the rosters,
1,000%,
right? Because you don't need people like goosing up the rosters, moving between the A's and double A's. Do a full-on, like, Savannah Bananas against, some triple A team to play the Yankees.
Yeah.
You could do that pretty easily in the middle of a baseball season. And I don't want to anger all the baseball purists. Feels like you could carve a few games out to do that.
100%.
Do you know Japan's big tournament every year? It's a legendary tournament. It's the high school baseball championship in Japan.
Okay.
It's a 4,000 team single elimination tournament every year.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's like the big crowning event of the summer in Japan.
Yeah.
Every high school team enters. 4,000 teams single elimination. Like Ichiro won it, Otani won it. It's like where become famous as a Japanese baseball player. But it's like a grind because they're playing, because to get from 4,000 to one, they're playing like multiple games in a day and, traveling places and sliding all around.
Yeah.
I would love some. Like,
does the Little League World Series have as much juice anymore as it used to?
Oh, yeah. Oh, really? People love the Little League World. Not that ratings are everything.
Yeah.
It does great ratings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. People love that. If we ever had a local team, I think people would. We'd get behind it and watch it and cheer for it. That's a double elimination tournament.
Right.
And they got all the little tournaments. But, I remember playing Little League. Yeah. We put the all-star team together, all that.
I was a baseball guy. I knew you were a baseball guy. Not good. I only played 1 year. And I felt like I was athletic enough to play baseball. I was just scared of the ball being pitched at me. For some reason, no other sport I was ever scared of the ball, but baseball. I think you get hit once, all of a sudden you're scarred.
I took a fly ball to the face once. That was an unpleasant day. Yeah. My glove still had the blood stains for a long time until I you just cover your face in the glove after it happens and the blood all over it. Yeah, it was an unpleasant. It's a contact sport occasionally.
Yeah,
but those occasions are not pleasant occasions.
Yeah,
absolutely. Wizards named their new coach, by the way. It is assistant Brian Keefe. who just slides one seat down the bench.
Yeah, I'm not familiar
with
the work of Mr. Keefe, but I will be interested in checking him out.
I'm not interested in pulling for our guy, Brian Keefe. I think let's finish the job that's been started here.
Yeah, but there,
got a good tank rolling down the street, AY.
There's more than that, because not only do you have to tank, but you have to win this trade deadline here, because teams are calling. I just saw today that the Hawks and the Lakers are involved in trade talks. The Wizards might be the third team in that.
Okay.
Right? And Jordan Poole, Kyle Kuzma, Tyus Jones. Keep an eye on Tyus Jones being traded. They've got four or five guys that are tradable, and it's all about stockpiling draft picks here. And there's this new thing in the NBA that's confusing to me, but basically multiple second-round picks equal a first-round pick when you're trading. You know, so they've
already Jimmy stockpiled. Johnson, we've got a Jimmy Johnson chart?
Right,
yeah, okay.
So it's a weird bit here where they've already stockpiled like four second-round picks in the future. They're trying to keep it going and then eventually turn those for some first-rounders.
Do you remember that one year where they like traded a pick for cash?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know a lot of Wizards. That feels like a low point to me. Obviously, the low point was Gilbert Arenas bringing the gun in, but it feels like a low point of the Wizards' recent struggles was when they traded a draft pick for cash.
Yeah, I would say, you know, Gilbert is definitely a low point. A lower point after that was John Wall re-tearing his ACL in his apartment.
Yes.
Right, because he was like, he got up to shave or something and slipped.
Yes.
Ugh.
The Wizards.
Wizards.
I fear there's too many teams tanking now in basketball.
Oh, there is. 100%.
Yeah, I just, like, the market advantage is gone. It's like when they did Moneyball and everybody's like, you got to get guys who walk. And then, like, those guys started making $10 million. Like, that wasn't Moneyball. Moneyball was getting those guys for, like, $12.
I mean, you've got three teams with less than 10 wins 44 games into the season.
Yeah.
The Wizards, Detroit, and Washington. Portland, just 13-31. And really, the thing is it's not even like, oh, we're tanking on purpose. It's, oh, we're just going to play nothing but young guys.
Yeah.
And then because of that, they're not scoring points and they're losing games. And it's just...
Although the Detroit one feels accidental almost.
Yeah.
I don't think...
They're playing all their young stars. They're just not stars.
Yeah. You wonder what that does for them long term. You worry about that, right? Because they are all good. I was watching. Who's the kid who like took over late in the game when they're breaking the streak? Detroit's...
Oh, Cade Cunningham.
Yeah. They've got great talent. You wonder what a season like that does for them, though. So the Wizards make the coaching switch, change. Everybody slides down a chair. Wes Unseld slides up a chair, goes to work with Ted at the office. Maybe he can drop some new plans for the arena or something.
Yeah,
up there, keep him busy. Make some copies, get some coffee.
You know what my buddy calls them now? He doesn't even call them the Washington Wizards anymore. They're the Wizards, the Virginia Wizards.
Virginia Wizards.
The Wizards.
Obviously, I spend a lot of energy on change the Commander's name. Mm-hmm. If you want to change the name when they move to Virginia, I'm not opposed. Like, Wizards is one that never really took off in my mind.
And you know, I have a soft spot for it because I never really watched the Bullets, so I only know Wizards.
Yeah, I'm not
and
opposed.
I am a fan of the alliteration.
Yeah.
Like, the Wash, Wiz, the W's, it works for me. I've always called them the Wiz Kids. I like the Zards. I don't think Wizards is a terrible name. I actually think the logo with the guy with the long beard looking like Marlin, like that's a good bit.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. No, that's a quality one, and it's. I don't mind the Wizards. I think you got to keep Washington in the name. I don't think you go to Virginia Wizards.
No way.
It's still the district's team at the end of the day. It's break time here. We'll be back with more. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. And A1's here. I'm going to make sure he doesn't get any work done because we were just talking about another producer outing here. He's on mic 3, I think. Another producer outing here.
Yo, yo.
Go play some mini golf.
Yeah.
Because I was talking, it was at Hotel Green last night having some bevvies. That's a fun spot. I covered the National Putt-Putt Championship when it was in Richmond in 2007. Would you like to guess what the winning score was at the Midlothian Putt-Putt, Midlothian Family Fun Putt-Putt Center?
Oh, man.
Yeah. Every hole can be reached in one stroke. It's not, there's no like, you know.
So it's not a par three.
There are no par three. Well, there are some pars, but every hole can be achieved and won with the right amount of skill.
9 under?
A 19.
19 under?
No.
Oh, 19.
17 holes in one.
What?
And a 2.
No way.
Yeah. I'm talking to, like...
That's just unfair, because now we're talking perfection.
This guy won 10 grand. They all took it super... This was, like, the nation's best. They had been there all week practicing, getting their angles, getting their shots. Yeah.
Where was that hosted?
And then me, young reporter,
yeah.
You know, talking to the guy who gets 19, like the jerk I am. Well, what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, what happened on
Why
that
didn't
one?
You get
you got
18.
You got a hole in one 17 times. What happened on the other one?
Yeah.
did the elephant
that
get you? Did the clown distract you?
That is such a wild score. I can't even like wrap my head around that.
It was at the Midlothian Turnpike. As you go out, like before the Chicken Fiesta, there's the Family Fun Center.
Okay.
It was there.
Okay.
Putt-putt is a... So mini golf and putt-putt are different.
Okay, explain.
Putt-putt is... does like it's all geometry. There's no... pipes and tubes and like windmills and stuff. It's strictly geometric. It is the purest form of miniature golf.
Okay.
Mini golf is novelty. It's the clowns, it's the hills. Hotel Green is mini golf.
Yeah.
But putt-putt is a strictly geometric challenge.
I like both. We used to go to Viking Golf in Delaware.
Okay, yeah.
All the time.
I associate putt-putt with the beach for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Like
yeah,
that is a
Fenwick Island.
That is
a million.
Sanctioned beach activity.
Yeah.
Is mini golf.
Probably the best beach activity. It's so Ooh. Much fun.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. I mean, especially after like a long day on the beach, you have a few beers, and then you're like, oh, there's a putt-putt course right there.
I can't resist.
Yeah.
Get me like a soft serve ice cream and a putt-putt round. We're good.
That's like my perfect day is you go to the beach, you hang out. You know, tan a little bit, drink some beers, go in the water, then, okay, let's do putt-putt, and then dinner, you know?
Best
works out.
Best beach game, I love spike ball. I don't know if you ever play spike ball.
I play spike ball.
Love
I'm
spike ball.
Way more into paddle ball.
Paddle ball.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I like pickle, I like tennis, and so...
That does suit you,
right,
for sure.
Yeah, and it's just so much fun because you can full-out dive in the sand.
That is the best part.
You can dive with spike ball, too.
Like,
that's
you just
point.
Bring a Frisbee out, I'll have fun for an hour in the sand. Yeah,
just
throw it back.
Football.
Throw it back. I used to be a baseball guy, so you'd bring the baseball, throw it around. Doesn't have the same... Doesn't translate quite as well as, like, the Frisbee where you can dive for it. You have the football and, like, splash into the wave while you make a dramatic catch or lose it and have to swim out and get it.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, we got our whole spring programmed here.
Yeah, we definitely need to do a producer night outing, putt-putt version.
I love it.
Or mini golf, whatever suits you.
Whatever suits. Stub was in here. I love Hotel Green.
Yeah,
everybody loves Hotel Green.
I think it opened. Want to say like 2017 or 18?
Been around a minute.
I visited Richmond before I moved back here, and actually went like the first opening weekend. And I've been back one other time, but it is popping place.
Great addition to downtown.
Yeah,
because We go to Penny Lane all the time. We've been sitting at the same table at Penny Lane since I moved here in 2007. So I think even before that.
Uh-huh.
But you know, you want to mix it up sometimes, and I don't want to go to Rappahannock. Mm-hmm. Like no disrespect. Like there's a time for Rappahannock.
Yeah.
And that time is like when I'm with my wife and we're having a nice dinner. You don't want to just go have drinks with the guys at Rappahannock.
Have you been to the Sandwich Society?
Secret Sandwich Society. Yeah. That's good.
I've never been there, but I heard really good things about it.
It's a West Virginia concept.
Okay.
Yeah. I love it. The sandwiches are great. The burger's really good. The drink menu is great. The bartenders are awesome. They'll make like the foofy old fashions where like they set it on fire and it smokes and all that. I like that. I'm a sucker for that. They have weird ketchup. I'm just going to let you know.
I'm already out on ketchup.
I'm just going to let you know going
in.
This is a big deal for some people. You're out on ketchup?
Yeah.
This will not affect you in any way. You should go down. But for some people, this is a big deal. They have like an organically sourced ketchup.
Uh-huh.
It's a little different. It's a little different than the regular.
How's their barbecue sauce or their buffalo? Do they change it up for those?
No. The buffalo's standard. I've had a buffalo chicken. I don't think they have a barbecue sandwich. I could be right. It's a more deli style sandwiches. They've got like some fried chicken, buffalo chicken. All the favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great name, though, right? Like Secret Sandwich Society.
Let you in. Yeah.
I just love alliterations like that. That's become my thing.
They're all named after presidents.
Oh, really?
The sandwiches are, yeah.
Nice.
Now, that's not the secret. I don't think I'm sharing this. I'm not getting in trouble for
sharing this. One sandwich is named after a guy who hasn't become president yet.
See if you can identify it. The Benjamin Franklin. I wonder if they've got a Benjamin Franklin, you know? That's the one. That's the trivia question. That's what you can stump people on. He was never a president.
Or they have presidents that were buried at Hollywood Cemetery. Right? Presidents of the South.
That's my favorite Richmond trivia question. There's three presidents buried at Hollywood Cemetery. Can you name them?
Yeah.
And, of course, Jefferson Davis is the trick answer, the third, with Monroe and Tyler.
Yep.
That's a good,
It's a good Richmond, like, you got to be a Richmonder to know that answer.
You got to be a hardcore Richmonder to know that answer.
Yeah.
I've never, like, people, like, sneak in there on, like, Halloween and stuff. I've never done that.
We used to, my buddy in college, that was his number one date spot. He'd take a girl,
and
a bottle of wine, and a blanket.
Oh.
He's still single. He'd sit around Hollywood set. Apparently, the sunset views are immaculate at Hollywood Cemetery.
It's basically just weird Maymont.
I guess.
I mean, what's Maymont if not, you know, Hollywood Cemetery without the dead people?
Right, Hollywood Cemetery is goth Maymont.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Goth Maymont.
Yeah. Goth Maymont. Emo Maymont.
There you go. Exactly.
But we used to go there a lot because we lived right in Oregon Hill.
Mini golf outing, but first we got to get Stubb to do the... We got bowling tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm fired up for bowling tomorrow because this is River City Roll.
You need a win.
I need a dub.
You need a win.
I need a dub, and I turned one down last week when I didn't take the Lions bet with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, well, I think we're all in agreement on this weekend's games. I don't think we have action this weekend, right?
I mean, it's tough because I'm still going back and forth on what to do with my Ravens ticket. Like, do you actually want to buy it from me?
So you bet $10 on the Ravens to win the Super Bowl.
Yes.
And it would be $200 if the Ravens win the Super Bowl. They have offered you the cash out button. They've offered you
$59.60. So $59.60.
And you were struggling with it, as I said. I will buy the ticket off of you for $60.
Yeah.
Because that's better odds than you can get at the market, and I like the Ravens right now.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
If you want it for $60, I really might sell it. I really might sell it. The thing is, what's the difference between selling to you and cashing out? I guess I would still have a little bit of a sweat rooting for you.
The difference in that is there's more juice for the show.
Sorry, that's, so how's that, the, how about
this?
That's
the difference.
I sell you the ticket for $60.
Okay.
If you cash in, you throw another $10 on top of it for me.
Okay, how about this?
Okay.
Let's go in together. I'll buy half the ticket off you for $30.
Okay, and then I hold on to it.
We each get $100.
And if we lose, I still get $30.
You have my $30. Yeah, yeah. You don't have to return it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Because then we're sweating together.
Yeah.
We're sweating together. We're talking about
nothing like two guys sweating together.
We're in the sweat lodge. Because we were talking about going to Vegas, and I love craps for that reason. Like, it's complicated, but everybody plays together.
Right.
You all win together or lose together. Like, at blackjack, you know, like, I could be on a heater. You could be losing all your money, and, like, you... Like, you might be like, hey, buddy, good for you, but you're not actually happy for me.
Oh, there's been times where I'm at a blackjack table and a guy screams at me, I can't believe you hit that!
Yeah.
I was supposed to be my jack!
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but at craps, we all play together. We all want the same number. I like the teamwork.
I like the teamwork
element. Which is funny, because my other favorite game is poker, where I try to destroy every other person at the table.
Yeah.
Just show them no remorse. Yeah, exactly. We're going to have some fun with that. ACC football schedules came out yesterday.
Yes.
We're going to break that down on the other side of this break. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. All right. The disrespect is real. The disrespect is real out there. My guy, Derby Bill. He's my guy. You know you're my guy, Derby Bill. Says, are you going to use gutter guards on Friday when you go bowling with AWOD? Incorrect. No.
How dare you?
This is regulation lanes. No gutter guards.
How dare you, Derby Bill?
Now, this much is true. I can't put the spin on the ball. I can't do it. It's a straight ahead roll. I'm just straight ahead rolling.
You can't do it? Like, you've attempted? And it's not the spin. I was corrected from my live broadcast there.
Please?
It is the hook.
Great. I can't do either.
Yeah.
There's not going to be any English.
Have you attempted the hook?
There won't be any English on the ball.
Oh, here's the other question.
No English.
Well, sure.
Are you conventional or are you unconventional in terms of, do you stick your fingers all the way into the balls or do you just do half a finger?
I stick my finger all the way in the hole, Adam.
I do too. But the thing is I've been
told. Can we not, gentlemen?
The halfway is the actual conventional. Is you're not supposed to go full. You're not supposed to go full.
No. I had no idea.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I remember
helps
like
getting better control.
I remember back in the day, like in high school, you would go is like how heavy of a ball you could use to show everybody how cool you were. I don't think that like. I want a light ball that I can just fling down there and make the pins explode. That's what I want. I'm not here to prove anything other than how many pins I can knock down.
I like that.
So tomorrow we'll do it. River City Roll tomorrow. Come on down. Join us for lunch tomorrow at River City Roll. ACC football schedules came out yesterday. Two takes for two teams here. You got Tech, and you got UVA. Start with the Hokies. This is a nice, soft schedule for the Hokies out of the gate. They open at Vandy, which I think is a fascinating game, right? That's one. Vandy's not, you know, they're not all that, but that's an SEC team on the road. You've always got an eye on that. That could trip you up. But if they can survive that, you got Marshall, Old Dominion, Rutgers right out of the gate. Nice soft, and then you start with Miami, Stanford, Boston College, Georgia Tech, Syracuse. I'm just going to say, you know, we look at the schedule, you do the wins and losses, that's the radio bit. We got plenty of time to do that between now and camp. Hopefully we get out to Blacksburg, do a show out there during fall practices. I think that'd be a ton of fun. That first nine, this is a team that could be 8-1 pretty easily. I'm just going to say it looking at the schedule. Now you're coming in hot down the stretch. Then you got Clemson. You got Duke, who I think will continue to be very good. The finisher against UVA. I think this is a team that could win a lot of games early in the schedule. That's a double-edged sword for Brent Pry. He didn't have that this year. He had some tough games. You remember that Rutgers game, the Marshall game, and the Purdue in the rain. There were a lot of 50-50 games early, and they didn't go his way. They stuck with it. They grinded out their wins. They got to the bowl. They took care of business in the bowl. I think the expectations are going to be a lot higher with this schedule. You fold in the ACC element, which is fascinating to me. They'll be at Stanford. Hokies are going out to San Francisco.
That's very tough.
For a regular season game. It's coming off of the Miami game, too, which is a road game. Miami on the road, then Stanford on the road. That's not a great stretch, but that's, you know, I think Stanford will be beatable. I don't think this isn't the David Shaw Stanford teams that you're used to. But anytime you're going cross country, it's not going to be easy. My one request is every time Stanford's out here, you got to hit that noon kick. Anytime you get a West Coast team out here, noon kicks for everybody. Like I know as a fan that nobody loves the noon kick, but if you're hosting a West Coast team, noon kicks for everybody. Back when I covered UVA, they had a home and home with USC, Southern Cal, which was one, the best trip we made on the beat the whole time I was there. You're going out to the LA Coliseum and being in LA, ton of fun. The UVA leg of that game, noon kick. The USC leg of that game, 7:30 local kickoff, which is, of course, 10:30 Eastern. So it was played at 10:30 Eastern out there, 9 a.m. Pacific when they came out there. You got to press your advantage in college football. If you can get an advantage, you got to press your advantage. These things are important to do. All right. UVA's football schedule. They got Wake Forest at Wake Forest week two. And I don't love that. Don't love a road game against a team that has been spicy in recent years. Last year was a down year when they lost Hartman, but they've had some good teams recently. So Richmond out of the gate, they'll handle the Spiders. At Wake Forest, home against Maryland, at Coastal Carolina. That's a tough early tightrope to walk there. Maryland got them in College Park this year. That'll be a fun return trip, especially without Tagovailoa. Easy for me to say. I think those teams will be a lot more evenly matched this year. They got to get their quarterback situation resolved between now and then, too. I can't imagine just running it back the way they did last year, but that's the path we're on right now. I'd love to see either Calandry get it full-time or, you know, find somebody in the portal that you feel good with. But I don't love the idea of doing a second quarterback competition or carousel with guys who are already known quantities. UVA's got the open date after Coastal. Boston College, Louisville, Clemson, UNC is your October stretch. Boston College at home, you should be able to handle that one. But Louisville, Clemson, North Carolina, that is potentially three losses in a row right there. They've been dealt a tougher hand than the Hokies. That's what I'm going to say about that. You finish up, they've got SMU at home. That's their new team game. But you finish up with Notre Dame, SMU, and Virginia Tech. This is a tough draw on paper. I think I'd rather have Stanford than SMU, even going on the road to do it. I think SMU is well-resourced, as they say. They're gonna throw a lot of money into making a good first impression in the ACC. You remember that deal when they joined? They turned down the TV money just to get the invitation. They said, we'll play for free. You know what? They got that oil money down in Texas. That team starts slumping, oil prices are going to go up. They're just going to pump some more players out of the ground down there at SMU. That's what Texas A&M did. Needed to fire their coach, $100 million. Pump some oil, cut that check. That's a tough finishing kick, Notre Dame, SMU, Virginia Tech for UVA. Certainly a schedule that does them no favors. And I do... Look, you know, am I biased? Sure, I think Tech's a little bit better of a team coming into next year. But I think a bowl game should be the expectation for UVA. And then you look at the non-conference. Maryland's not a gimme. Coastal's not a gimme. There's a lot. Notre Dame on the schedule. This is a bad year to have Notre Dame on the schedule. We got another hour of programming. Lane Casadane is going to join us. Tons of fun ahead. Hope you'll be with us for that. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
This is MP on the mic on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
It's a Thursday. We love to join our good friend, Lane Casadante of CBS 6. Lane, an exciting morning for you out getting ready for next week's big event. How's it going?
No, good morning, Mike. How are you? Yeah, we were down at the Altria getting ready for next Saturday's RVA Sports Awards, the third annual installment of honoring the best in the area over the past year.
Lane's a great host of that, and I appreciate that Lane is a great host of that because it allows me to indulge in the open bar without fear of being called on stage to do anything, which is certainly my favorite thing to do. Anything you can tell us about the show? Or is this like the Oscars, you had to swear to secrecy?
Well, we announced the finalists in each category back in December, and this is one that the public votes on completely. Some of the voting was very interesting. Think that there'll be a couple of surprises.
Ooh.
For when you see who actually wins as opposed to who was nominated. And looking at the voting, it was very interesting. I'll just put it that way.
Juicy. That's the stuff Sports Talk Radio is made of, Lane. I love it. All right, let's do a little chat with Lane Casadante.
He's the dean of local TV sports. And if it seems like he knows it all, that's because he does. It's time for Thursdays with Lane Casadante of CBS 6.
RVA Sports Awards, of course, will be on CBS 6. We'll look forward to that. But right now, Lane, I'm looking forward to Saturday. University of Richmond, 6-0 in A-10 play. Dayton, 6-0 in A-10 play. Robbins Center, Saturday, 6 o'clock. Something's got to give.
Yeah, and this is really going to be the ultimate test for any A-10 team this year. VCU is going to get the same challenge a little bit later in the season. Richmond has... I have been very, very impressed with the job that Chris Mooney has done over there this year, compiling the roster that he has, changing his coaching and offensive philosophies a little bit, not a lot, but he's changed it a little bit. And, I mean, you know, you've watched that team for as multiple years as well. Coming into Richmond, first of all, is that an easy program to join, and it's not an easy school to get into, and it's a different atmosphere than most other college programs. And then with what Coach Mooney and his staff ask players to do, that's an even bigger challenge. And the fact that they've compiled all this together in a relatively short period of time is really, really impressive. Now, what will happen against, you know, a nationally ranked opponent that is the presumed, you know, champion, the preseason champion of the conference, and one that has been playing like it all the way through, and one that has something to prove after losing in the title game in Brooklyn last year. You know, we're going to find out. You know, you just hope that Richmond comes out, plays their best game, and then we'll see what happens. You would hate to see them come out and just you'd hate to see any team come out with an opportunity like that and just not play their best as well as we know they're capable of playing.
And you know, we love some good March teams. Of course, you guys have the tournament at CBS6, so I know you do. I mean, if they can hang with Dayton, I don't think it's unreasonable to start that discussion, especially, yeah, I just co-sign everything you said. The job they've done, the program they've built, the way they've reloaded this year, I think if they win this, you're talking at large and you're doing it with a straight face.
But I think this year, more than any other year, the committee is really going to pay attention to what happens from the middle of February on, especially in the conference tournaments, because so many of these teams with the transfer portal and with NIL, there are so many new faces on programs across the country. They're going to give more credence to how you played coming in than how you might have played in, let's say, November and December, when people were still trying to figure things out. So I agree with you. We can, you know, but it's really going to, I think for anybody in the A-10, it's really going to depend on what happens after February 15th and going all the way through the conference tournaments as to whether or not, you know, the committee is really going to be giving them a hard look.
I don't envy the committee's job this year. They're going to take some teams that have some ghastly November and December losses, and they're going to be justified in doing so. Or they're going to snub some teams that are red hot, and they're going to do so for what happened in November and December, a new team. The transfer portal world has not caught up with how we view the tournament yet. That might be good news for the VCU fans, though, because certainly you know this, that's a very different team than it was when they were losing to Norfolk State and everybody was pulling their hair out over that.
Oh, yeah. And actually, not all of, you know, VCU's losses are bad either. You look at what McNeese State has done. Yep. I think they have either the longest or the second longest winning streak in the country right now. So, you know, no shame in that. And some of those losses back in November and December are going to be proved to be actually pretty good losses. And we know from past experience that the committee takes that into account, too. So, I don't envy them either, because really you could throw a whole bunch of names in a hat, and any of them that you pull out, you could justify it in some way, or conversely tear it down in some way.
Exactly. Yeah, it's depends which side you're on. Oh yeah, committee nailed it this year versus that. Ah, a terrible year by the committee. How could they overlook how we peaked at the end of the year? Lane Cassidani, we love having him on Thursdays. All right, Lane, I'll take a stab here. Will Hardy's in D.C. tonight. He's the Jazz coach, St. Chris guy. Did you cover him at all? I'm always intrigued by local guys who you know, make good, who weren't, like, you know, on the marquee when they were here. Will Hardy, though, doing a great job as the Jazz coach, St. Christopher's kid. Did you interact with him? Did you cover him along the way?
I covered St. Chris, but I would be lying if I said I remembered him when he was there.
Yeah.
So, you know, and again, there's a bunch of those guys that you kind of remember. And if you go back and find the roster, you say, yeah, he was there. I mean, what I do remember is I remember shooting at least a game or two watching Ryan Odom play for Hamden Sydney against Randolph Macon. I actually do remember that. And, you know, Griff Aldrich on that team, who's the head coach at Longwood now. But if I said that I remembered, you know, those St. Chris teams back then, I would be pulling your leg.
Well, everybody would, right? Like, that's, and he's a coach, not a player, right? With the players, it's so easy to identify. But, you know, we're not asking the coaches, like, you know, who's the guy on the bench who you think will be an NBA coach someday. That stuff's not top of mind these days.
No, but you do. You also see there are some people who, and I keep using this example all the time, like Russell Wilson. When we saw him at Collegiate, that's the same guy we saw in Seattle.
Yeah.
To a certain extent, when he plays that way now, it's the same guy we see in Denver. He was that guy, you know, slinging it around the West End back when he was a junior and senior for the Cougars, winning state championships. So, sometimes, you know, in very few instances, you can see, oh, yeah, you know, you can absolutely see where he would have gone on and had a really good career. But you're right. But a lot of times, there's no way you can kind of predict where a player or a coach's career arc will take them.
Nope, but we love celebrating our own. Will Hardy coaching the Jazz. I like their chances tonight, Lane, against the Wizards. Call me great. I'm not, you know, Nostradamus.
I like, I think you, me, and let's go find three guys, you know, somewhere at Cary Street Gym. I like our chances against the Wizards.
Exactly. Lane Cassidane, it's Thursdays with Lane. They've got Beyond the Roster. Usually on Thursdays, you have Beyond the Roster tonight. What's cooking over at CBS 6?
We do not have one tonight, but next week we are going to have a profile of Tony Squire, legendary AAU coach here in town for many, many years. He was one of the first, if not the first, you know, one of the first big ones to do it across the country. He is going to be getting our Community Champion Award at the RVA Sports Awards next week. So we have caught up with some of the players that he had in his program who have now gone on to mentor and coach and do things beyond Richmond. And we're going to get their thoughts on what Tony has done for this area, done for thousands of kids that have come through his program, and how he continues to affect the game today just by the coaching tree and the outreach that he has from the example that he set.
Love it. Look forward to that. Lane Cassidane, I always appreciate you joining us on a Thursday.
Mike, thanks for having me. Have a great weekend, everybody.
There he goes, Lane Cassidane. And yeah, I love that Russell Wilson example because you knew that kid was something special when you watched him doing the two-point conversion to win a state title out there at Collegiate. And he was, I remember at the newspaper, that was a huge debate whether he should be the All-Metro Player of the Year, because you traditionally, you know, you think about your John Marshalls and, you know, obviously at the time, Hermitage and Bird, whether you grab the star player from those big public schools or whether, you know, this kid, this small kid from Collegiate, was worthy of that honor. And I think ultimately the right call was made. Russell Wilson was, in fact, All-Metro Player of the Year, and he's done all right for himself. Now, notwithstanding whatever comes next, and by the way, I'll say it again, I'm not opposed to him landing in D.C. I'm really not. Jaden Daniels is my guy, but if they trade back out of number two, I'm not opposed to it at all. I'll say that. I'll say more. We got another half hour of radio. Up next, you're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.